Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass. I'm your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
And I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Yes, you are. Each week we get together, we talk about cars, motorsport, F1, cars. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can watch us on youtube.com/behindtheglass. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on notifications. And Tony, if people want to support this podcast, what should they do?
Watch it. No.
But also head to Patreon. You can support us on patreon.com/behindtheglass. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the episode.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Welcome to 2022.
Yeah.
It's got quite a nice ring to that, doesn't it? 2022.
Yeah.
It's I like a new year. Do you like a new year?
Well, it all sort of rolls into one, but not really. I mean,
See, I get into it. I like it. It's an excuse to do things a little bit different, isn't it?
But do you actually... Start. But does that actually... I mean, you see so many people go, right, this is my year. I'm going to do this.
This is my year.
This is what's going to happen. And then 2 days in, it's not their year. It's all gone wrong.
Yes, I was supposed to go to the gym every day this year. It's January the 5th. I haven't been once.
Right.
So, life... goals, I guess I'm not that keen on, but work goals I am.
Yeah.
And, you know, using it as a sort of moment or an excuse to be like, hey, I'm going to change up my editing style or make slightly different content. I do like using it for that. And, okay, COVID aside, I have always tried to what do I do? Phrase my content? No. Style my content differently each year, maybe. Mm.
Because I don't really make goals because I change them as I go. So if I need to
you keep ticking them off the list.
Got to keep going. So I don't really have to have a new year for new inspiration. If I feel I need to change something, whether it's February, March, April, I just change it.
Just get on and change it.
Fair enough.
Well, anyway, well, happy new year to everyone.
Hello.
Welcome back to the podcast. We are back from our very short Christmas break. Did you have a nice time? Nice time off?
I had a lovely time. I went on holiday.
You went to Dubai, didn't
beautiful,
you?
Yeah. Oh. Like late 20s.
Oh, lovely.
We had good fun.
See any nice cars?
Not really, mate.
No?
There was a few. Like, I didn't really pay much attention. Apart from going to the Dubai Mall one evening to see the fountain, because I had my daughter with me and my sister and whatnot. So we went and done that. And obviously we drove to the desert to do the buggies and whatnot. Apart from that, we was in the hotel.
Yeah, so, okay, fair enough. But yeah. I mean, Dubai is one of those places that usually, even inside the hotel, somehow you see supercars driving around.
Yeah, there were
fourth car.
Yeah, yeah. You could hear is Lamborghinis for sure, Lamborghinis and Ferraris. That's all I heard all week. But yeah, I don't really pay too much attention to him.
No, anymore. No, fair enough. You were on holiday, like, so I'll give you that break. Me and Paul Wallace would have been there glued to the window.
Oh, like, no.
Oh, my God, it's a hurricane.
Oh, you'd have been chasing it down the road. Yeah, I mean, I can't.
No, fair enough. You sound way more normal than me.
I look way more normal as well.
Debatable.
Especially in that jumper.
No, hey.
Is that a Christmas jumper?
It is a Christmas present, so be careful. Be careful what you say.
What does that Les Italiens mean?
Les Italiens. This is actually, I will have you know, a super in vogue and fashionable brand.
Really?
MC St. Bart's, I think it's called.
Why are you wearing it?
Good question. Because it was gifted to me. I didn't have the balls to buy it myself. Me and Vicky saw these in Nice when we were down there in November.
In France?
Stumbled across them. Yeah, Nice, France.
Right. Duh. Okay.
Stumbled across them. We're like, oh, these are cool. And they had loads of different ones. There's one which was like to be Porsche or to be posh, uh-huh. a little 911 on it and stuff. Just cool things. I was like, oh, that's so nice. We got back and we Googled it. And it's like literally like Kendall Jenner and Justin Bieber and like every celebrity you can imagine has been wearing these jumpers. I was like, oh, cool. And so I ended up getting one as a Christmas present. Very nice. So I'm a fan. So you can do one in your weird leather puffer. I don't even know what you look like wearing a bin bag.
That's not the first time someone said that to me about this coat, but it's quite warm. So
fair enough. Well, you know, I had a lovely Christmas. We went to Bulgaria to see Vicky's parents, which was super nice. I tell you what, COVID has been kind to Bulgaria.
In
the last 18 months, I'm just talking about with regards to cars. My God, the amount of supercars cruising around Sofia, the capital. Insane. You never see anything that nice. You see a few AMGs and M cars. But the last 2 years, the amount of like just supercars knocking around in the capital, insane. And I stumbled across this insanely heavily used GTC4 Lusso, which I shared in the group and posted on Instagram.
You did.
Arguably the coolest thing I've ever seen in my
life. Mafia car for sure.
100% a dead body in the back. Yeah. If you don't follow me on Instagram, what are you doing? Go and check me out at C3. What's happened to you? Follow me on Instagram. But yeah, this car was the dirtiest car, let alone Ferrari, let alone Lusso, I've ever seen. Street parked in the center of Sofia, and it had damage to the front right side. It was scarred. It was bruised. It was amazing because you never see Ferraris like that.
No. But as make you say, sure if you're going to follow Sam on Instagram, make sure you put his handle in right because he hasn't got a blue tick. So
thank you. As predicted, I need to take this phone call. So. Give me 2 seconds.
So he's been waiting for a... I don't know if I can say. Can I say? He's been waiting for a parcel or something to be collected. And we delayed the podcast for like half an hour. I've been here like nearly an hour waiting for him. And he's just turned up now. So we're either on a pause or you're going to listen to me talking for 2 or 3 minutes. Hopefully he edits this out because I've not got much more to talk about without my friend. He disappeared in his silly jumper very nice jumper because probably a member of his family bought it and I'm going to get grilled the next time I see him. So hello, Sam's family. That's enough now. I'm not saying anymore. I'm going to wait for my partner in crime.
Did you keep everyone entertained?
Yeah. I'd done a little speech and then I signed out and said that...
We'll be back in a second.
We'll be back in a second.
Okay, yeah. Did you explain what was going on?
Absolutely. So you can leave it in or you can not leave it in or we can just recut it and do whatever you like. But I've done a lovely little speech.
Okay, but what did you... I don't totally trust you.
Well, so I'm not going to...
I won't find out until I edit this back. But let me explain what is actually going on. So aside from heading off to Bulgaria for Christmas, I've moved out of my flat. I've sold my flat here in London, in Clapham. And I'm moving on to slightly greener pastures. Not much greener, I've got to be honest, but slightly greener pastures. And so, yeah, spent a lot of Christmas packing up. And I'm currently actually, me and Vicky are currently living with my parents about an hour and a half or 2 hours outside of London. Mm-hmm. Just whilst we're, you know, doing all the lawyer bits for the new property. And so my dad's decided to take this opportunity to use me as one of his secretaries.
Why not?
He went, no, you're going to London today. I need something from my office. So do you mind if I courier something to you? And I knew that the courier was going to turn up midway through this podcast. And we waited. We held off a little bit. But no, predictably, courier turns up.
I said all
5
this.
5 minutes in. Oh, you did say all
oh,
this.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so sorry for repeating. I just don't trust Tony. He doesn't have a very trustworthy face. And so I thought you probably spent the last 10 minutes slagging me off.
No, I've done that as well.
Okay. Anyway, so catch up out of the way. Let's talk cars. Because even though you're not too into the whole New Year thing, it is a new year.
Yeah.
Which means a year to get excited about new cars.
What's coming out then?
Many things.
Really?
Which is what we're going to be getting into later in the episode because, yeah, there's a lot of cars that we can be excited about this year. But there's also some sort of immediate car things that we need to discuss.
Yeah.
Firstly, the fact I've got a Defender 90 downstairs.
I know.
Oh, hello.
I mean, I knew this was coming.
So I'll just explain quickly, in case those of you missed the main channel video, went out on Boxing Day here in the UK.
How dare you if you did, by the way. Yeah.
You don't follow me on Instagram and now you're not watching the main channel?
If you watch the Queen's speech, you should watch him.
Okay, I don't think that's true, but thank you for really? The support. I mean, you don't follow me on Instagram or watch my YouTube channel, so you're not setting a very good example. But
I went up to Alexander's Prestige, the legends at Alexander's Prestige. Andrew from Alexander's came on the podcast at the end of last year, and they have unbelievably lent me this insane Urban Defender 90 for the next 3 months to basically trial it, see if I could, you know, replace the X3 with a Defender, see if it's as impractical to live with as I maybe suspect.
Can you sell it?
Can I sell it? No, it's a loan. I can't sell it.
No, what I mean is that why don't you try and sell it for and make some money?
Oh, and get a commission. If anyone wants a really nice Urban Defender 90,
firstly, I know Andrew listens to this podcast, so Andrew, let's talk.
Hello, Andrew.
Let's chat.
You've got to leave some for me as well, because I've suggested it, so make sure you leave a bit for me.
I think the hard part will be is I already know I'm probably going to say some negative things about that car.
How dare you?
Yeah, well, how dare I? But I don't think I'm going to be the best salesman for it.
No.
I'm really enjoying it.
Good.
And I've not driven it that much yet.
No.
But in the limited time I have, it's almost already verified. Is that the right word to say?
What engine is it?
It's the P300.
So it's the 2-litre petrol car, but the 300 horsepower car.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's an SE X Dynamic.
An SEX. Okay, fine.
So you've done what my audiences did. It's an SEX.
Yes, an SEX, yeah.
Think about that.
Dynamic.
It's an SEX.
Yeah. I understand, mate.
It's the sex spec.
Yeah, but I'm not that juvenile, so.
Apparently most of the main channel audience are, because everyone was content be like, did he just say the SEX?
Yeah, as if, as if it's forbidden word.
Yeah.
And it happens every day.
But it is also an urban spec car,
yeah.
Which does, I mean, if the Defender wasn't already imposing enough, this one, I mean, I cannot pull it off. I'm trying so hard, but everywhere I go, I step out, people are like, oh. I thought Tiny Temper or Justin Bieber or one
of
Little
Mix.
Their
jumpers on.
I think I got one of the JLS jumpers on. That's a real niche UK pop reference. But anyway, long story short, let's see. Mm. I still love the idea of it. Every time I walk downstairs and see it, I'm like, oh, so cool.
Yeah.
But it is a boat, my God. We'll save it. There's more to come on this car.
There is a lot more to come, and I don't really want to pass. I mean, I've had one, but I don't really want to pass judgment till you've had a bit more time with it.
So. Have you had any more come or go from stock recently? Because they are trading at an insane value at the moment.
No, because they're trading at an insane value. Okay, and actually, as a human being, no, I'm not going to say it, actually. I'll just let it roll out, and I'll have an opinion a bit later on.
Sure. Okay, well, this is unlike you. Maybe this is the new you for 2022.
No,
usually you jump in with an opinion well before educating yourself.
So I don't do that. Absolutely not. My opinions are completely valid and normally 100% correct.
Should I remind you about the GR Yaris?
What happened with that?
Well, you hated it, then you drove it and you loved it, and now you decided you hated it again because they started selling for overs.
No, I don't like them.
Changed your mind 3 times.
I just like the way it drives. I mean, I wouldn't buy one.
But at the beginning, you hated it before you'd driven it.
Yeah, but that's an opinion. And quite often, sometimes I do it just to wind you lot up.
Yeah. Finally get it out of you.
I just get a reaction. I love a reaction.
So yes, plenty more to come on the Defender 90. Got lots of fun plans with it. Lots of ways to try and test it in every single sort of way. But I'm also trying to use it as much as I can as my daily. However, as I was packing up the old flat that we've now moved out of, I was using the X3 because it's way more practical to fit stuff into. So the Defender was parked up here at STGHQ because you can't put the seats down flat. So you couldn't fit as much stuff in it. The
can't
X3 was unbelievable. I was lobbing stuff into the X3.
Yeah.
It became a van. So another huge tick for that goddamn X3, which just continues to be so good.
You going
to
sell it?
Well, I think I am because I'm on this. I mean, people are now starting to get a bit annoyed saying this is the longest hunt for an X Daily ever. But it's because I am in no major rush. I do love the X3. I just don't love it. Like, it's. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, I know what you mean.
But
you've had it. How long have you had it?
Nearly 2 years now.
Oh, right. Well, that's why you don't really love it. You sort of just want to change.
Exactly that. Yeah. And I think over Christmas, I kind of figured out what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I've got this Defender loan for the next 3 months, so probably nothing's going to happen until spring, I doubt. But I kind of know what I'm going to do now. And it goes back to something that I did pre-COVID. So 2020, at the start of 2020, I did this whole thing, which was go big or go home. And 2 months
later. When was that, 2020?
Yeah, January 2020. I was like, go big or go home.
And what happened there?
COVID came and I went home.
Right.
But I think 2022, I might be bringing that
doing
slogan
it again?
Back. I think I'm going to bring that slogan back.
Okay, 2 years later.
Two years
later. Did you watch that?
A little bit. Maybe it has actually. I need to go for silence. So, aside from me collecting a Defender 90, which is a very exciting moment, thank you again to Alexander's Prestige, did you catch another exciting bit of car content over Christmas? Evo Car of the Year?
Yeah.
Oh.
I did.
What's that reaction?
Well, I was very disappointed. Last couple of Evos, I've been very disappointed with the winner.
The Ecotes.
Not the content, because I like the way they put it together and the filming. I appreciate filming a bit more now since I've known you, actually, because you kind of educated me a little bit, which is odd, really, because I never thought you'd be able to do that, but you have.
Come on.
I appreciate the filming and the way they put it together and whatnot, but the outcome of what they've decided the last couple of years, for me, hasn't really made too much sense.
What won last year?
The M2CS.
Ah, and then this year, the M5CS.
I mean, what's happened?
Hashtag ad.
No.
Evo journalists will be coming up with daggers in a second.
No, I don't think it was an ad. I just, sometimes when I listen, I kind of think that the winner can be a bit contradictive. And I don't really quite understand.
Contradictory.
Yeah, okay, thank you. The difference between a
2022.
public educated person, someone who didn't go to school. Yeah. So I never really quite understand how they get to the actual final decision, you know?
Okay, so let's recap here. Now, I actually haven't had a chance to watch the entire video. I skipped through it because... So last year...
I watched it all.
Okay, great. You're going to be able to help me out. Last year, don't you remember, I went in and slagged off Ecotee 2020 for really poor filming quality. They went up to Anglesey and said it all looked like it'd be filmed on an iPhone, and this was Evo, and given their history of creating beautifully shot content, this was a disaster, except it was hard to follow, et cetera, et cetera. They definitely made up for that because they were back to their old ways. It was a beautifully shot piece.
Well, they must listen to this podcast.
I doubt it. But a beautifully shot bit of content. It made great and you could follow it all through. I think they told the story beautifully. So back to Evo of the Greatness, which is correct. What I want and need from Evo's YouTube channel. So thank you, Evo. But the cars that were included, we had a Ferrari SF90, GT3 Touring, Aston Martin Vantage F1, Huracan STO, i20N, M5CS, M3, and Honda Civic Type R.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, maybe a slightly smaller group than in previous tests. And are there cars that were missing? You could argue a few things that maybe should or shouldn't have been there. So not the most obvious selection of cars, but actually within the video, it was good to see. Like, you know, it sort of made sense. Mm-hmm. So what did I watch? I watched Huracan STO. I watched a bit of the i20, a bit of the Civic Type R, and a bit of the M5. I missed the F1, the SF90, the Touring, and the M3.
Okay.
Now, talk me through the rest of the cars. Talk me through overall opinions. And then I'm going to come into why I think it makes sense as to why they chose the M5 CS.
Okay. So they were very... complimentary on the STO and the Touring.
They love the STO from what I saw.
Love the STO. And actually, I actually think the STO is the car of the year, me personally.
I know you love that car. Secretly want one.
I just, not at the values they're at now.
Well, I was going to say, but if you got one offered one list, you'd get one.
I mean, no, I wouldn't.
Yes, you would.
Because they're on the list. So... I wouldn't, mate, honestly. But am I going to rule out not having one in a year or so? No, if they're the right money, I'd probably buy one. They're completely impractical. You can't take them on a road trip because there's no room in them. They're too loud for a track, which is what they're built for. So they are absolutely pointless. But the fact that what really done it for me with the Lamborghini, the fact they're still making that car, kind of that's the reason why what tipped it over the edge. Yeah, a GT3 Touring is always going to be up there. And it's probably why Evo never picked it, because it's just so good that
it's obvious.
It's the predictable winner. So they were probably trying to think outside the box. They give the SF90 a bit of a drubbing, I don't really know many people that have said good things about that car.
That's what I was going to come in with. Like, I'm not sure I've seen a positive, apart from Power Slide Lover on Instagram,
I'm not sure I've seen a positive review for that car yet, anywhere.
But it's not that easy to power slide either, apparently.
Well, I mean, he seems to make it relatively
but
easy.
But he's very good, though.
Yeah, all the journalists, it's the quickest thing that they say is that it's unpredictable, a bit strange. Yeah, no one seems to understand the point of that car. And heck, they are appearing on the used car market every day. I mean, people are flipping their ways out of them real quick.
Yeah, they're a lot of money, though, mate. Like, it is like basically hypercar speed for a little bit more than supercar money. But, you know, what's wrong with an STO? What's wrong with a GT2 RS? What's wrong with a Pista? I mean, how fast do you want to go? Like,
we're wading into a very popular topic here on the podcast. If it's your first time listening to Behind the Glass, something that comes up almost every week is, are cars these days too powerful? The answer is yes.
Correct.
And that is really right at the top end. And I think has been superseded by a car we're going to come onto later in this episode, the 296 GTB.
Yeah.
But could also fall foul of the same issues.
Well, I think the SF90 problem is it's obviously Ferrari's first go at a hybrid car, and they will get it right, Ferrari, because that's what they do. But sometimes when a manufacturer brings a new car out, sometimes it takes a while for them to get it absolutely right, and they might nail it with the 296. The only manufacturer that doesn't really do that is Porsche. Everything they bring out, they nail it. Yeah. So, but they don't really change it that much, you know. The engineering's very, very good. And maybe Ferrari have tried to be a bit too clever with that SF90 because it is a clever car. So they poo-hooed that a bit, that car. What was the other ones you were saying?
So the Civic Type R, the facelift Civic Type R, the i20N and the standard M3. And the Vantage F1.
So the Vantage F1, again, poo-hooed it, as in, what's the point of this car, blah, 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 blah. I absolutely agree with them, as in, you know, what is that car? I actually like the idea of it, to be honest, like a GT...
Doesn't live up to the idea.
...free Aston Martin, but it's not a comparison for a GT3. It's no good, apparently. So that was out the window. The Civic, I flipping like that car. I don't particularly like the look of it, but when you drive one, mate, they are so good, them
it's the
Civic.
Dogs, bollocks.
They are, honestly, the nuts. If you want a hot hatch and you're a driver, you got that or that silly Megane. They are head and shoulders the best out of the, take your Golf R's, your RS3s, A35s, A45s. They are head and shoulders the best two cars to drive. So they liked that car, but for some reason it didn't go up the grid.
It couldn't win cars.
It couldn't
win. It's basically
win.
A facelift.
Yeah, for sure. But it is a bloody good hot hatch, that car.
Yep.
They liked the i20N. They were talking about feeling and is it better than a Fiesta ST? My personal opinion, probably not, because Fiesta have been making that ST forever. It's a bit like a Golf where they've been making them forever. I mean, you can't really sod that car up now, whereas the i20, although it's BMW man that runs the M.
His design, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think it was the old M man.
Yeah, yeah.
So although he brings some knowledge to the brand, maybe they're just not quite there. But it's still a good car. Like we've said many times on this podcast, no one makes a bad car.
No, and the i30N was a great car.
It still is a great car. And I think we are, when we get to this point, we are really nitpicking and you know, but they can nitpick because they've got this selection of cars, and when you're getting in and out of them, that's when you really compare, you know, because your mind's not scrabbled by what you drove 6 months ago and you can't really remember. So I think they like that car, but they said some derogatory things about it, but whatever. And then
M3,
which they said it was very, very good. I mean, it is... Mate, I really, really love that car. And the more that I have driven it, I was a bit like them when I first drove it. Like, yeah, it's good. But actually, maybe, I mean, they spend a week with them, right? I mean, that should be long enough for you to understand. I was surprised that that car didn't rival the M5 CS, because I really rate that new M3. I think that's a proper bit of kit, that car.
I think, like many modern BMWs, and I'm going to come onto this now, you know, they evolve when you live with them to show their breadth of capabilities. And, you know, me, I was relieved when the original new M3 reviews came out that I wasn't the only one that felt a little underwhelmed. Like, it was a very good car the day I spent with it on the press launch, really enjoyed it, but I was like, yeah, like not got a lot else to say. Yeah. But then, yes, I know people who've spent, like you, more considerable amounts of time with them and are like, mate, the car is just so, so good.
Yeah.
So here's why I reckon the M5 CS ended up winning, because I think when the M5 CS launched, a lot of us were like, oh, come on, 150 grand like
140.
That? 140 for an L. Yeah. It just seemed ludicrous and insane. And everyone's like, what's going on? And then they drove it and then it wins Evo Car of the Year. It's like, what the heck? And especially at a time when most BMW fans are saying that BMW M is further from being BMW M than it's ever been, in the sense that, you know, the true lovers of that kind of, you know, ultimate driver machine or whatever, you know, the ultimate driver's car, don't recognise modern day BMWs.
No.
Yet you've got Evo, I would argue one of the most heralded or popular well-regarded,
yeah.
Automotive magazines and group of journalists out there picking a BMW M car and a really niche expensive one as their car of the year. That was quite a juxtaposition. But as we mentioned just 5 minutes ago, and for all of last year, and heck, for the last 3 years, cars are becoming more and more sterile, too powerful, too similar, too void of any character or personality until you're right at the absolute limit. And heck, I'm sitting here banging on about how I love the F-Type again because it's just usable, fun, and comfortable and nice. You talked at points last year of wanting a Bentley Continental or the Roma and all these cars, which are fundamentally very powerful, very capable, but comfortable and usable, rather than the F8s or the 720Ss or the MC20s that, whilst could, you know, destroy lap times on the road, feel a bit void of character. And if you look at that fleet, SF90, we know all of its foibles. We've discussed it. They discussed it in the video. GT3 Touring, heck, I love that car. You love that car. But we all knew what we were going to get. It's not a revolution. I actually am surprised they didn't have the Turbo S in there, because I think the 992 Turbo S is a more impressive evolution than the 992 versus 991 GT3.
Compared to the old cars. If you look at the old generation cars, 100%.
That's what I mean. A big leap and an incredibly capable car. Yeah. The Vantage F1, it's just a Vantage with silly bits on it.
Yeah.
If I think, but STO, as you say, totally brilliant that they build it, totally impractical. And then the M3 Civic and i20N aren't special enough, I don't think, to win Car of the Year. So then you've got the M5 CS. We love the M5, the M5 Comp. Yeah. A brilliant car.
One of the best,
which they are going to love spending time in over a week, because getting in and out of all the other stuff, that M5 is just going to feel like this luxurious, comfortable powerhouse of a barge, but then is inherently lighter than they were expecting, more nimble on its feet, more engaging to drive. It's going to be the surprise package of that group that, realistically, jumping in and out of all the other cars, you are always going to want to drive home. If you looked at that fleet, you're going to go, right, what, we're done for the day. What are we going to drive? I'd always pick the M5 CS.
But is that what it's about? Like if that is what Ecoti is all about, then okay, fair enough. But we you know, you've just reeled off about cars being too fast and this and that. It's why I picked the Huracan STO, because, yeah, it is a stupidly fast car. But it's not like 765 fast, or it's, you know, it's not Pista fast, it's not GT2 fast, it's not Black Series fast. Might be around the track, but on the road, it's just, you can do 20 or 30 mile an hour in that STO and feel like the bomb.
Having your teeth shaken out at the same time.
Correct. Right? But that's all about the character, right? Something like you've said many times, something that is imperfect, it always brings out the character in a car, right? So it's the bit I didn't get with the M5, because if it's really that good, I mean, we know how perfect the M5 competition, I think that's a perfect car, the M5 competition. If the M5 CS is that much better, then they've picked it for perfection. So within that point, you might as well just have an M5 comp and save yourself 70 grand.
Well, not if the CS gives that slight added persona and edge and driving characteristics that make a driver a little bit more excited. If it is a better driver's car, a car that's a little bit more exciting in every walk of its life, you've taken a car which you just said is kind of perfect and you love and just made it a bit better. And in this day and age, when supercars are as capable, you could daily an F8 as easy as you could daily an M5. Apart from the additional seats, it's as easy to daily the both. And so therefore, maybe Evo Car of the Year is less about apex speed and understeer and minutia details of suspension travel, as it is finding a car which holistically is the best car of the year. And of that bunch, I'm actually not wholly surprised the M5 CS was their choice from that trip. Would I have it of that bunch? I don't know. I'd probably pick the Touring, maybe, or probably pick the Touring. So I don't know. All I'm saying is I agree it's a bit surprising, but when I actually consider the group test that they did, I can understand their choice. I would have liked to have seen a few other cars thrown in there personally.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't understand their choice. So, yeah.
So, yeah, take that, Evo. Tony didn't understand. Sort your lives out.
I mean, if I actually knew what the actual parameters was of actually, this is the actual reason, because they never really explain
that.
They just say, this is the car of the year, and then it ends.
It's a group of journalists deciding their favourite car of that group.
Which is absolutely fair enough, because it's their opinion. If that's what they've come to the decision in a week, no problem. It's just that, logically, from my point of view, I've spent plenty of time in most of them cars that they've driven. I just... What was the parameters of them deciding that the M5 CS was the car of the year? Because from what I can see, I understand what you're saying. I would have definitely have had the STO and the Touring easily over that M5 for sure.
Fair enough. And also, we have to applaud Evo for being able to do this, because, you know, fundamentally they're trying to pull cars from different manufacturers all at the same day, allowing manufacturers to agree to having their cars go up in a group test like this. You know, now having more insight to behind the scenes, that's not an easy thing to do.
Absolutely not.
And they'll definitely be, you know, Ferrari do not like being in group tests at all. So seeing this and making it happen, and it does also mean that maybe there'll be cars that they wanted to include, which they couldn't because of availability or, as I say, so bravo for doing it. I think it was good. I really like the piece that they put together. I need to watch the whole thing, sit down on a big TV screen and really enjoy it. But anyway, I'm glad Evo Car of the Year was back, even if Tony doesn't quite agree with the final decision. So
I like the video though.
If that was Car of the Year of 2021, let's move on to what we think might be Car of the Year 2020.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Two.
Well, what's coming out? I mean,
no, you do know, and it's exciting. I mean, obviously, there's going to be some surprises this year. it won't surprise you at all to hear there's a ton of random EV and niche concept things that we're not going to talk about.
Not
now.
Interested.
If you comment going, oh, but what about the Jashu EV14? Like, we don't care.
Is that a car?
Probably. I went through a list earlier and there were some things I was like, I don't even know what that is.
The new 950,000 horsepower EV from blah.
Yeah, like, no. It's like the Tesla Roadster. Whoa, no, that's cares. Not coming, is it?
No. knowing him that long, that's a dig, by the way, everyone.
Let's get going. So I've got a list here. I'm going to use Top Gear's list to start with because the Autocar one, usually, by the way, shout out Autocar. We love using Autocar as a bit of a resource for this podcast, is 170 cars longer.
Oh, no.
I was like, we ain't got time for that.
Oh,
no. So we're going to use the Top Gear one first. And we'll kick things off with, of course, two big hitters, the Lotus Evija and the Lotus Emira.
Mm. They're coming this year.
Yes, so we should see production versions of both. I think the Emira press drives supposed to be in maybe spring? Or no, maybe there's the prototype drives in spring and the press drives in September. I can't remember, but I'm hoping to be able to experience an Emira real soon.
Yeah.
And I'm still excited, even though you're not.
I'm not particularly excited. I'd like to drive one, but I'm not excited by that car. Like, I'm not excited about the hype and what...
But what about the Evija?
That's the electric car,
that's
right?
That's the mad electric one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, you say really. This, you say that, but I actually am excited by the Evija. I'm not excited by the fact that apparently it can do like 3 laps flat out and then has to recharge, but you know, lightweight, etc. And actually, you know what? I want to delve in. I want to speak to Lotus about this.
It can't be that light if it only does 3 laps.
Yeah, well, no, but it is, because this is the thing, is the battery technology, weight, you know, so they have to have a small battery. but some of the dynamic footage and stuff, and when I went to the Emira launch and the Evija came around the track, I was like, oh, hot damn, that, it looks insane. As a sort of, not a gimmick at all, but as a toy, as a track day toy, they will be very cool to see. If you were at Silverstone and that came up behind you or flew past, you'd be like, sick.
Okay.
I think. Okay, you wouldn't, but I'm excited for those two. A car which we talked about at the end of last year, right at the end of last year, which will finally be arriving, M3 Touring.
Yeah.
And given your plaudits for the M3.
Yeah.
I think that really could be Evo Car of the Year 2022.
Yeah, maybe.
It should be in the mix. And I think, you know, the hype, the cultedness around estate cars and things like that, you know, lots of potential.
It's going to be 100 grand now, that car.
It's going to be a lot, but the world is, you know, cars Defenders are 90 grand.
Yeah. So. Unbelievable.
Now, this is a weird one. Citroën C5X.
So here's I love that car.
Really?
Are you joking? Look at this. What a beautiful car that is.
So I hadn't seen this at
all. Oh my God, mate. I'm actually considering buying one.
No, you're not. Nice try. You know what it looks like? It looks like a Taycan Cross Turismo.
Yeah.
So here's what Top Gear said, because I had no idea about this car. Not every interesting car inbound this year is a fast one. Look, comfy big Citroëns are back. Welcome to the only crossover Top Gear is mildly bothering about in 2022, the C5X. Instead of going retro to reinvent the likes of the DS or the SM, Citroën's new flagship is a sort of high-riding estate available with plug-in hybrid power and seats said to be squishy and posh as a mattress.
Oh,
we'll report back when we've had a drive. So this is supposed to be Citroën harking back to their glory days of being plush, comfortable, over-the-top, stylish cars. Something which, unfortunately, they haven't really made for the last...
Because they tried to take on the Germans, realised they couldn't, and changed their model.
Yeah, so back to the proud way of eating brie on the back seat. Yeah. That's going to get me in some trouble. I agree, it's a good-looking car. Had you actually genuinely seen this before?
No.
Okay. Yeah. So you had no idea what you were saying?
Okay.
Well done. I do think it looks good. It looks like the kind of car Paul Wallace is going to review like mid-year.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, what was the... What, didn't he do it?
And if he's no good, he'd probably buy one.
What was the content he was doing mid-year?
I don't know, mate.
The Peugeot stuff.
I can't.
That was so rogue, wasn't it? Supercars of London presents a Peugeot. Anyway, let's not wind up Paul anymore. He's not here to defend himself.
No. I think he had a 60 grand one.
He did.
A really expensive one.
So rogue. He really enjoyed it as well. That's what annoyed me. That's why I'm winding him up. Another car we've just discussed, the Ferrari 296 GTB.
That is the car I'm most looking forward to, because I'd like one.
But I worry. I worry it's going to go down the path of the SF90 and everyone's going to get it and go, oh, all that potential, all that excitement, and it's just too much.
All right.
That's what I don't want it to be. I don't think I'm going to get an invite to drive that from
Ferrari.
You
might now. I'll be going.
I might. I'm going to send them an email later saying, hey, like at some point. When you get the big hitter stuff like this for Ferrari, they tend to literally just focus in on the car magazines.
Yeah.
Maybe get Schmi or JWW to go to like a static run.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to say maybe towards the end of the year, I might try and see.
So it'll be 2023 before you start seeing them, right?
No, I think it's expected to hit the road this year, no?
Right.
I think delivery is mid, like summer this year.
Might be delivery, but I bet if you go in and say, can I have one now? I bet it's 2023 delivery. So maybe the early cars have already been...
Oh, I think if you want one of these now, it's 2025, isn't it? The waiting list for 296 must be insane.
Yeah, probably. Oh, I mean, right. I don't think 2025, mate, but...
Anyway.
We literally just make things up.
I know, for so do you.
You're worse than me.
I want to have a go, Ferrari, FYI.
Please.
If you're listening. Here's a car which you don't care about, but I'm intrigued by, is the Toyota GR86.
No, that's not fair. I do care about it because I think it's good value, and if you're a kid, you can have some fun and you're not going to kill yourself, although if you try and drift it, you might. But you know, it's a 200 horsepower little drifting machine, really.
So if that's good value, why is the Emira not?
Well, the Emira's not 30 grand. Is that 30 grand, that car? Emira's 70. It's Cayman money. So this is my argument. That's not Cayman money.
Well, no, but what is that? What does the GR86 go up against?
Exactly. There isn't anything else like it. So it's pretty cool for that reason. The Emira's just going up against the best sports car you can buy.
Okay, stop.
Carry on if you want.
No, please don't. But I like this Toyota GR movement. Mm. Obviously the Yaris we know. But I'm intrigued and excited by this. I think it looks sharper and better. I think people will play around and modify it. And
I'd like
cool.
them to do a faster one. I'd like them to do like a 300 horsepower one, something a bit more power.
Surely you're going to have to tune that in a heartbeat. And
probably,
yeah. Have some fun. Put a supercharger on it.
Wallace.
Yeah, exactly. This one, I don't know why Top Gear included, but it's a Volkswagen ID Buzz, which is essentially an electric van looking like the old school, what were they called? The campers?
Yeah, the camper van, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a van. At last, VW is giving us the retro-styled one-box people mover we've always wanted. Fully electric ID Buzz and ID Buzz Cargo will offer.
That was at Geneva about 4 years
ago. It literally was. That's what I was thinking. Look at that. It was literally at Geneva when electric was becoming a thing.
Yeah.
It was at Geneva about 4 years ago. And hey, we're not getting Geneva this year. So, you know, the best we can get
again.
To look at these photos. I mean, that would be cool to see if like UPS are driving around in those. I'm all up for it.
UPS. But, you know. Think you get a side door in there.
they're quirky looking. Another rogue shout from Top Gear, the Hyundai Ioniq 6. Isn't Hyundai on an absolute roar right now? Top Gear asks. The i30N and the i20N. The Kona N is a completely mad. The Ioniq 5 is great looking and brilliantly realised EV. And then the Tucson crossover is a better looking than any current BMW. So then he goes, so it stands to reason that the new Ioniq 6 saloon ought to be a half decent bit of kit. Top Gear are really loving Hyundai. It's an all-electric saloon with pebble-smooth styling, riffing off the Prophecy concept based on the same underpinnings as the Ioniq 5 hatchback. The likes of BMW i4 and Tesla Model 3 aren't going to be excited about this rival. Sure, let's wait. I mean...
That makes two of us.
Yeah, so maybe this is a car.
I mean, I think that looks hideous, that car.
I think it looks hideous.
Yeah.
And I suppose Hyundai are on a bit of a roll, you're right, with the N's, Top Gear, and Ioniq 5, I've seen a few. They are massive, those things, but I've seen a few of them knocking around.
Yeah.
So yeah, you could say they are on a bit of a roll, but I'm not particularly freaking out about the Ioniq 6, I have to say. Wasn't on my radar before, and it's not going to be. Mercedes EQE. Now, I have seen a lot of chat recently about the EQS and the EQE from Mercedes. I think Mercedes are maybe slightly getting a step ahead of Audi and BMW when it comes to the race of EVs.
100% they are, yeah. They're really knocking out electric cars now.
It seems to be across the range.
Yeah.
There is an EV available in every sort of shape, and they look good.
Mm.
They don't look too dissimilar to the rest of the range.
Mm.
They haven't tried to aggressively make sort of futuristic products, but they are cool, and they're really going for big range.
Yeah.
I think the EQS is a 500-mile range.
Well, actually, oddly enough, we talked about Top Gear. I watched a small piece of Chris Harris actually not driving one, in the back of one. And they claimed big range and it wasn't quite, it was like 70 or 80 miles out. But you could get London and back from West Country or whatever. So, but interestingly, in the back... there wasn't a lot of room. And bearing in mind that's an S-class rival, the yes. EQS, there wasn't really a huge amount of room. Chris isn't particularly a very tall man. So for him to say that, like, I mean, if you...
It's not that encouraging.
I don't think it's quite ready
yet. If you're used to being chauffeured in an S-class, you might suddenly be a bit unhappy in
I mean, to be honest, mate, I think that car chauffeur market, that, you know, the S-Class, the A8, the 7 Series, I think that's dead, that market. I think really? People buy Range Rovers now. You'd sit in the back of a Range Rover all day long, wouldn't you?
You sort of would. 100%. But as someone who is often chauffeured, Tony.
Here we go.
So, for example...
Volvos.
For example, Saudi Arabia, every single person who got picked up from the airport to the hotel as part of the Saudi Arabia hospitality, 7 Series.
Yeah, but that's because BMW sell them to them for 50 grand.
But 9 times out of 10, if I'm collected by any... For any event, I'm being hosted anywhere, it's still in a big saloon. I do not remember, even for a Jaguar Land Rover event, I don't remember getting picked up in a Range Rover or an SUV.
But I think that's because of a price or a value reason, because I think these chauffeur firms, well, actually I know that BMW and Mercedes, they do unbelievable deals on them.
So I don't think it's dead then.
Well, it's only not dead for that reason. But actually, if you sat in a Range Rover and be driven around in a Range Rover, and then the same price S-Class or 7 Series, if they're exactly the same price, you'd all day long have a Range Rover. All day long. I mean, it's just better.
I don't know if it's necessarily better, but I would agree in the same reason why people buy SUVs over estates.
Yeah.
Also, you know, like there's that sense of riding high and being in a big box. But I said it when I reviewed the latest SV autobiography. What's the top spec Range Rover?
Yeah.
The last one just before the
refresh. Is it the SVO?
No, it's got SVA, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is SVA. An SVA, yeah.
And I said I'd have this over a Rolls Royce Ghost any day of the week.
Yeah.
You know, because it just felt nicer.
Yeah.
But I think there are still people who would have a Maybach S-Class, who have the 760 Li long wheelbase, whatever. A8s, I think, a dying breed. But,
yeah.
But heck, I tell you, in Bulgaria, big BMW or AMG saloons, still a thing.
Yeah, and I think in a lot of Europe, mate, I just think in this country, we don't really go... I mean, I can't remember the last time I had one in stock. I mean, I wouldn't have one in stock, even if I was offered one. But I can't remember the last time I had an S-Class or a 7 Series. It was such a long time ago. Years and years ago.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right. And to drive, everyone's going to pick an SUV.
Right, yeah.
Well, no, because I actually don't think you necessarily are. I think if you're buying...
Just said I was.
No, if you're buying a car, a personal car, I agree, SUV.
Yeah.
And if it's a personal car that you then have a chauffeur, again, I still think you would be weighing up the options.
Yeah.
But a traditional chauffeur company, or if you booked a chauffeur-driven car, I think 9 times out of 10, if not 9.5 times out of 10, they're still showing up in saloons and they're still stocking saloons.
Now, this is absolutely correct, but that's because of the price of them. That's because of the deals they get on them.
So you are a little bit wrong.
No.
No, because, you are. You are a little bit. Because you don't sell to chauffeur companies.
No.
You sell to individuals.
Correct.
And you agreed with me that chauffeur companies are keeping the saloon alive. Admit defeat!
But what I'm trying to say to you is if the chauffeur companies could get the Range Rover at the same money, they'd have the Range Rover. They literally...
I'm not so sure.
No, they would, mate, because it's just better. And that's that.
In your opinion.
Next car?
GT3 RS.
Yeah! We forget about that. We don't really talk about that car anymore.
Because I don't care.
I do.
I just think it's going to be great.
Oh.
It's going to have the stupidest wing in the world. But...
You will care, mate. When you drive one, you'll go, oh my God, this is the best car ever.
But you say this, some of them are the same money. I would still have a Touring over a 3RS in this country. A right-hand drive Touring over a 3RS.
No way. Well, for the road, yeah. But if
that's why I'm going to drive it on the road.
For UK road, for sure. But if you go to Europe, no chance. I'd have a 3RS.
You're going to be slow in Europe. You're not going to be able to keep up with stuff.
Well, that's not true.
It is. In a straight line, that's a slow car.
But when do you need a straight line?
Well,
on a mountain road.
Autobahn.
Okay, so I was in the slowest car on our road trip.
And I couldn't see you in my mirrors at any point.
I'd already gone.
because you were sliding around, couldn't get traction in your car.
In the wet.
But no. I get it. But for me, the 3RS has never been the one to have because I'm not a track guy. Like, I don't live on the track. I want to change that a little bit this year. I want to do more track stuff. But
I'm coming. I mean, that'd be hilarious.
Please.
I'm going to put you in a wall.
Don't do that. It's too track focused for me. It's super cool. It's brilliant. When we did that trip to Ireland, I was like, well, amazing. But I'm like, it's a bit too much. Like, yeah. I don't need all that. So in the same way that you weren't that fussed about new GT3, I'm not that fussed about new 3RS. Mm.
But I'm not that fussed about new GT3 because of the RS. I know the RS is coming, and I'd have an RS as my European car. You know what I mean? This is literally why I'd have it.
I'll keep my fingers crossed for you.
Yeah.
I might have to buy a Taycan first to get that slot.
No, I'm not doing it. I should pay overs and just have the car I want.
Ferrari Puro Sangu.
Sorry?
Or Puro Sangu, whatever. It's the Ferrari SUV.
Oh, so not interested. No, I'm not interested.
You
can read, but I'm not going to listen.
What can I bet? You say this right now.
Yeah.
I think you're going to want one of these.
Well, I can want all I like, but it's $500,000 or 400 grand. No thanks.
Well, firstly, we don't know that for sure yet.
Well, we do, because it's Ferrari. They just take the piss.
The V12 is likely to be 400 grand.
Joke.
But the hybrid blah, 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 I think is going to be 260 or whatever.
Plus options. So it'd be 320.
Sure, there you go. Bargain.
Right. Bargain.
Won't lose a cent.
Lie. What about a Lusso or an 812? But done 100 grand in 2 years.
Look at a Urus.
Unbelievable.
And I think we're going to see this with Ferrari.
No.
I do, because I think this is a flip of the market. This is indicating that the world is SUV obsessed. And whilst Ferrari are dishing out cars left, right and centre, the one that they haven't yet is an SUV. And yes, Lussos and even, well, 812, or the big V12 that dropped like an absolute lead balloon. This is different. And I think people are mad enough to buy Cullinans. My God, central London is full of Cullinans.
It is, actually.
Los Angeles, full of Cullinans. Yeah. Dubai, full of Cullinans. Those are also 400 grand cars, essentially.
They're not quite, but they're 300.
Close enough. Yeah. You know, if you go mental Rolls-Royce spec.
They're 300 grand.
Sure, but you can do all the individual. You can get a 400 grand Cullinan for sure.
Probably, yeah.
But say 300 grand. We don't know. By the way, we still don't know the pricing of this Ferrari SUV. We're just speculating.
Yeah.
People will buy this by the boatload.
Yeah.
And being Ferrari, if they're half sensible about it, there'll be an insane waiting list. It'll be in demand. So I think for the first 2 years, they'll sit 30, 40 grand over list and you can just use it.
I disagree. Okay.
Well, let's wait and see.
Yeah.
Am I intrigued and excited about driving it? Not at all. I couldn't care less.
No.
I probably will and go, oh, wow. But I've always said I'm not necessarily a big fan of super SUVs.
I am.
I know you are. And so,
yeah.
Andrew from Alexander's, you know, the Uruses, the RSQ8s, the G63s, the Cayenne Turbo S Coupe, whatever.
GT
thingy. Thing. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm a bit like, nah. So I would have my Ferrari in FF or Lusso form.
Mm.
Will this be incredible? Probably. But I'm not that bothered.
So they've officially shut all the books, by the way, just changing the subject slightly. They've officially shut all the books on F8 now, so you can't buy an F8. So the replacement car, is it the 296 or is it the SF90? I mean,
So there is supposed to be another mid car, isn't there? There's SF90, 296. Something else
replacing,
yeah, which is because the F8 was the send off,
it was
for that engine and for that sort of model line. We are still, I think, expecting a V8 mid engined Ferrari
hybrid car,
could be mild hybrid, would expect it to be mild hybrid, but maybe not.
So, where does that go in the range
underneath 296? Because what's 296 price
underneath
price-wise?
296?
Yeah, because 296 is how much? It's still a 200 and something grand car, right?
So, wait a minute, so they're gonna have a V8 car, which will be 700 horsepower, I guess, if you're going at the 296 is a V6 car with 800 horsepower.
Yeah, exactly. You've just hit the nail on the head.
Okay, fine.
And then you keep the entry level Portofino and Roma.
Right.
So yeah, 231 grand for the 296
plus
of course.
So it's 280.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be an F8 replacement
That sits under
205 or whatever. What's an F? What's an F8?
Oh no, I don't think there will be, mate. I think it's going to be above it. I think it's going to sit in between the SF90 and the 296.
Oh yeah, because an F8's 203.
Yeah, plus options.
So does that make the 296 the entry level Ferrari?
It'd be the
entry level mid engine Ferrari.
It will be, yeah.
Wow.
Because and then they'll just make an underpowered, if they are going to. I don't really
a
see
a detuned SF90.
Yeah, but why would they do that? Just it's odd. I don't know if they are going to replace it. It doesn't make
sense.
Will
Ferrari replace the F8? The F8 Ferrari is replacing the twin turbo V8 F8 Tributo with a V6 hybrid Screamer.
There you go. It's 296.
The Ferrari F8 Tributo is the only 2 years old, but the rocket ship. That is the 296.
Yeah.
This was from Motor Trend in June.
Yeah.
New 296 GTB to replace the F8 Tributo.
Yeah, because that should have come 2 years ago, but they didn't have the hybrid technology ready for it.
Wow.
So they're going to be the two cars. That makes perfect sense. Why would you make another one in between? Doesn't make sense.
No, I agree, I guess.
Disaster.
I didn't think Ferrari had confirmed that, but maybe they still haven't, but online everyone is saying
it would make sense.
It's the straight replacement.
Sense. Yeah.
Wow, okay, cool, well.
So what's next on the list?
I'm like a bit like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Goodbye, V8.
A bit of him's just died inside.
A little bit. We are coming towards the end. We've got a Hummer EV. Did you know Hummer were making a comeback?
No.
Yeah, not that we really care, but Hummer
EV. In the UK? Coming.
I think in the US probably. I can't believe it's coming to the UK, but maybe. The new Civic Type R, which I have to say on test photos alone or spy pictures, I'm super excited about. I think it looks much better. If we were concerned about the looks, much, much better.
Yeah, it does. It looks a little bit like a BMW at the front.
It's got more of a saloon. I think it's got to get rid of the rear wing and we are good to go. So, yeah, that's going to be very exciting. The Gordon Murray T50.
Oh.
Snore. See you later. Ineos Grenadier. Oi, oi. Keep an eye out for that.
Is that coming?
That is coming. That is coming. They're listening it here. They're saying 2022, able to take your dummy out and buy an Ineos Grenadier. Starting around 48 grand. I still, every picture I see of it, I'm like, oh yeah, so cool. I just want to get one and take it like across South America. Do you know what I mean? Like I just want to go to Iceland or Alaska and just bum around in it.
It might be interesting too, because that's going to be good value, that car. So at that point, are they going after Defender?
Oh, the thing is, it's so much cheaper than Defender.
Yeah.
And so much more practical. Of course, I think yes. Or they're going after old Defender market. Because I think if you had an old Defender, like my dad, right? He's got the old Defender 90. He doesn't want a new Defender. It makes no sense to him. It's 16 times the money. It's less practical. All the reasons that we don't like
Defender. He doesn't like driving.
But he would probably consider this. And in the same way that if you are a farmer or maybe Harry Metcalf, Harry's Garage, maybe he'd... I don't really know.
Okay.
But the fact that it's also appealing to me suggests that there's an air of... You know,
jack of all trades.
Yeah. Well, in the sense that you buy a G-Wagon, one of the most capable cars off-road, but you drive the G63 and just drive it to the bloody shops, don't you?
So it's like all SUVs.
That's the thing. But so they've done a good job at making it appeal to me, someone who's probably going to go off-roading once, but I kind of want to. It's selling a good lifestyle idea. And
okay.
I think at 48 grand, it's cool. Okay, now I'm genuinely excited about this. Maserati Gran Turismo.
Oh no.
Finally, 82 years later, we're getting a new one.
I mean, it is 82 years about as well, by the way.
It is about 82 years.
Yeah.
It's been taking forever. But there's going to be all things. There's going to be an electric, a V8, and a V6.
So it's basically Ferrari gear.
I don't know how much they share anymore.
They must share some.
I mean, they're right next door to each other, so it would be a bit weird if they didn't.
Yeah.
But... I saw one of these. So when I went to Italy to pick up the Alfa GTA M, I was allowed inside Bolocco, the testing facility, but all my phones and everything were taken away from me. I don't know, take a picture. And I sat around waiting for an hour and a half for some Italian security men to stamp some paperwork. Classic. And three of these came past.
Did they?
And I was like, holla. It literally looks identical to the old Maserati.
Does it? Does it really?
I couldn't believe it. I mean, I think the flesh, it's going to look like a heavily facelifted car. You're not going to be like, oh my God.
I wonder what they're going to do to the inside, because that's the problem with that car.
And the other problem will be the price.
Because the MC20 is what, 212, 213 grand or something like that? Stupid money.
It's quite that
much. Oh, mate, it's all the money.
Yeah, I think there might be 180, 190.
Specced up, it's going to be all the money. 187.
Plus options.
Plus.
Yeah.
So it's a 210, 215,
yeah,
220 car.
Yeah,
so it is all the money. And I think they're going to completely misprice that Gran Turismo as well.
As they normally do.
It'll be 160 grand cars.
Yeah,
it'll go up against a Roma. It'll be
deluded.
But I love the idea of it.
Yeah.
Dacia Jogger. I think this is Top Gear trying to carry on a joke from the old James May days. Good news. Dacia is back with a shameless, boxy, super practical piece of unpretentiousness.
What's wrong with that, though?
Nothing at all. But like, are you excited by that?
I'm not excited by it, but it appeals to a lot of people, mate.
I'm not going
to. Here we go again.
No. Do not try
and derogatory again.
No. Do not try and pull me into that conversation. I can see you coming a mile off, and I'm not going down the BMW 2 Series Active Tourer. I agree. I actually think that looks cool.
Yeah.
And I like that what they say, super practical, shameless, boxy, like tick, tick, tick.
So what's your problem then? I don't really understand what you're trying to say.
I don't have a problem.
Right,
you're just trying to wind me up.
No, I'm not. I'm just trying.
So let's go back to some of the cars that you just couldn't care less about. What's your problem with the Hummer EV?
I just told you.
What?
It's not going to be a UK car. So what's the point of it?
What's the problem with the Hyundai Ioniq 6?
I don't like it. Well, Carry on.
I like the Dacia. Anyway, you're speaking.
Well, you just said you didn't.
Stop trying to fight with me. It's the first podcast of the year. Sit back. Just be a nice person. New Range Rover.
Very excited by that.
A few of those were knocking around London, weren't they, over the Christmas holidays. Got spotted by some good
old... I will happily have one of them, for sure.
Yeah, so would I. A lot of money.
That's the problem.
In my madness over Christmas, when I was like, what is this next daily going to be? I specced one up and I was like... What?
120?
Oh, yeah. Mm. 125.
It's a problem, mate, because actually, the current Range Rover now, what's wrong with that car?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, old SVA, the one we were just talking about a second ago, you can get them for like 90 grand.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, apart from the new interior, which is very nice and it does look a bit more modern for sure, but actually to sit in and drive down the road, how much better or worse is it going to be? You know, like... Range Rover is a Range Rover.
Yeah, I think this new one will be a lot better, but I don't think you'll notice. Do you know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, it's like old Phantom versus new Phantom.
Yeah.
There'll be lots of nice parts of this, but and you won't realise all the new improvements that are going on to improve the overall experience.
Yeah.
Maybe if you went from new and you got in an old, you'd be like, oh, it's not quite as refined. But yeah, if you were in an old, I don't think you're necessarily missing out massively. But until we've driven it, I guess we don't really know.
The entertainment, obviously, the infotainment system is going to be loads better. But if you want some advice, I'd wait a while and let them fix it first. Because when they come out, they're going to be going straight back.
You never know. Polestar 3. Polestar. I keep seeing these Polestar 2s knocking around. They're quite good looking cars, aren't they?
I think they are, yeah. 50-odd grand's worth of electric. And they've got... amazing reviews, mate.
Yeah, incredible reviews. Yeah. Don't you? So I guess Polestar 3 is going to be interesting. It's a SUV event, essentially.
Yeah.
Megane E-Tech.
Not interested.
What's wrong with that then?
It's electric.
So?
Well, it's not. I'm not interested. Would you like to tell ladies and gentlemen what we spoke about off camera?
No, we'll be doing that.
There you go. Then.
Episode. And then the last three. First off, 2022 Formula One car.
Yeah.
I'm literally right now in discussions about trying to get down to testing to see some of the first cars. Cannot wait.
That is amazing.
Aston Martin Valkyrie. We should see them on the road this year. Good. We should see them on the road. And if we do, you know where they're going to be? Monterey Car Week. If that event goes ahead, they will be all over it.
Okay.
And I'll be excited.
Customers have had delivery of some, right?
I don't think so. I think a customer car came off the production line.
And gone.
Was it delivered? Who knows?
And gone back onto the production line.
Turned around and went back to the start. It was like a really classic Aston Martin press release.
Yeah.
The first customer car rolls off the production line. And that's about it. So let's see. Because with these kind of things, social media being the way social media is, it would have been plastered everywhere.
If of
been
course.
Delivered somewhere. So let's wait and see. And then, of course, Mercedes-AMG 1.
Oh, yeah.
Forgot about that, didn't we?
No, I didn't forget about it. It's just that it's not here yet. Again,
I'm just reading here to remind myself, it's a 2015 spec Formula One engine. Mm. That's how long that car's been in production.
Yeah.
7 years.
Yeah. But it's still a hybrid car, mate. It's still that era, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
It's still that.
Oh, it's a Formula One engine, mate. I'm not knocking sure. that. But like, yeah. what I mean is how long it's taken for that car to come to any point of being near close to production.
But will it be a Formula One car?
No.
This is the problem.
Not at all. It's impossible.
For the road.
There's 25 people that run a Formula One car across a Grand Prix weekend before
every
session.
Oh my God.
And
the rest?
Oh yeah. And then the whole factory monitoring it, stuff like that. So
unbelievable.
To think that you could just shove that into a road car and let somebody go on and have fun.
I've actually got a really cool story to quickly tell you about that. So it's actually about George Russell going to Mercedes. So a friend of mine might be selling his house to his parents.
Might be selling his
George Russell
to George Russell's parents.
Correct. So they had a really lovely conversation about George Russell and how he approached Mercedes. He originally sent Toto Wolff an email with maybe not responding, not getting a chance to respond, and Toto Wolff did respond, but anyway, that's another story. So
if you want to hear that story, by the way, go and check out the George Russell F1 podcast where he discusses it in detail.
Oh, there you go then. So I haven't read that, so whatever. Yeah, so and then he said he was doing an F3 test. He'd gone out to do an F3 test and his parents said that, you know, when you go to an F3 test there's 3 or 4 mechanics and this and that. And then Mercedes invited him to do an F1 test. He was completely on his own. It was a private day. He said that they had 3 garages. There was like 60 people for George. He said there was a garage just full of computers. There's 12 people in there just looking at his data. It's insane, right? The level from F3 to F1 where you just get like 2 or 3 people turn up in an F3
car. See you later.
That's why I wanted to tell that story because
the insane levels.
The levels of when you go up to real elite sport is incredible when you think like, and man, it was just a test.
Ridiculous.
It wasn't. It's not.
And that would be back in the day. That would have been a completely separate testing team.
Yeah.
When you hear the stories of the, you know, especially Ferrari days with Schumacher and stuff like that, they would have a completely separate department running the testing program and the testing team that would never even go to the races.
Can you imagine the money? So that you know, I think it was Portugal. So it's Portimão. So they've hired Portimão. There's no one else there. Just him. Can you imagine that there's 4 lorries? So they've all pulled up in the lorries. There's 60 people or 50, however many people there were. Like, just that alone.
Well, I can't remember where it's at now because the cost cap's coming in. But obviously, at its height, teams were running, you know, $100 million a year, you know, to run on Formula One.
Is that
teams.
What it was?
Yeah, easily. I mean, I think when Toyota, I think, were famously the highest spending. I think they were at $300 million a year. Toyota F1 budget.
Incredible.
Toyota has a $445.6 million F1 budget in 2008. £445 million budget in F1, and they didn't win.
nearly half a billion quid.
They didn't win.
Yeah.
F1 team spent over $3 billion. Toyota.
But is it true that Ferrari have the biggest budget in F1? Is that true?
Yes. Well, so the
that's gone.
I say
well
it's all changing because of the cost cap, but. Famously, very early on, Ferrari managed to negotiate that they had special precedence in every part of the sport, rules, prize breakdown, everything, because of their importance to F1. Ferrari.
Their heritage.
Yeah, F1 isn't, nowadays maybe a bit different, but could Formula One exist without Ferrari, and could Ferrari exist without Formula One? Arguably for a long time, no, even when they weren't winning.
Yeah.
And so of any year's prize fund, Ferrari would always get a little bit more.
Yeah.
Ferrari was always allowed to veto certain rules. Ferrari always allowed to have a little...
Really?
You know, if every team got 1 vote, Ferrari got 2. So okay. Like they always got special treatment. And in terms of budgets, I don't necessarily know if they spent more or had more, but they definitely got more back from F1. And I think they were comparable. I think like Ferrari, McLaren, you know, Red Bull, whatever, you know, they've also... Williams was actually a bit less. Anyway, big teams were always around 100 mil, but then in came Toyota with 445 for 1 year.
Unbelievable.
Insane.
Yeah.
Couple of other random cars to quickly finish off on. Pagani. Lol. Apparently coming out with...
Another one.
Yeah. No, but a whole new car apparently.
Oh.
which is basically just a Huayra with a bit of Zonda bits on it. Going to be called the C10. Don't know much else about it yet, but shockingly out of nowhere, that's coming. And apparently another new Koenigsegg.
I've been their New Year's resolution.
What, make another car?
Yeah, just like woke up January 1st.
Oh, we should probably build something.
Yeah.
And Koenigsegg as well, as apparently the
same thing.
55th car, which they've only seemed to have built four of them, but anyway. So yeah, an exciting year ahead. And a very exciting year for this podcast. We have to welcome any of you that maybe are new, you've never tuned in before. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. We have really been hyping for a while now that this is going to be a big year for us here in the podcast. And it really is, kind of almost starting from next week moving forward. We have some mega plans, which will all be revealed
huge
very soon. Lots going on behind the scenes at the minute here on the podcast and on my main channel, which I'm just taking a while to figure out before I can announce, but we're excited.
We are.
And we're very happy to have you along. So yeah, if you are new, subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, turn on notifications so you don't miss our future weekly episodes. Yes, we are here every week. If you're listening to us, keep listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you might be listening. If you want to follow Tony, he's at Tony Gravelwood Car Sales on most social media platforms. I'm at Seen Through Glass on most social media platforms, and we'll be back with you for another episode next week. Bye-bye.
See y'all.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.